All right, so being in the last story of the life of Elijah, we get to see Elijah disappear into heaven. And when he disappears into heaven, he disappears in a whirlwind, which is the first big and important thing to notice, because some of you are like, what? He disappeared in a whirlwind? I was sure it was a chariot of fire. And I was sure it was a chariot of fire as well until I read it in the Bible preparing the sermon. I was like, what? Why is it not a chariot of fire? Why is it a whirlwind? He's not Dorothy from the Wizard of Oz. It's meant to be a chariot of fire, but this is what the Bible says. It was difficult for me. It destroyed my childhood. It was a little like finding out that Jar Jar Binks could be a Sith Lord. That's how I felt when I saw that Elijah got taken up in a whirlwind. But that's okay. This is what the Bible says, and this is what God wants to do. That's fine by me. But when we look at this story, most of this story, we see Elijah, and Elijah is not that engaged in the story. He pretty much knows he's on his way out. He doesn't have much to do in this story. He's just doing the walking around. It's Elisha who is the one who is doing a lot of the talking and the acting in this passage. He's interacting with Elijah, getting ready to step into his new role as a prophet of Israel. And we're going to be thinking tonight about what it means for us in ministry. Some people here are going to be at the Elijah end of their life. You are at some point, somewhere, going to step out of your ministry. You know, hopefully not too soon, but you're going to step out. You're at that end of your life. But most of us here are at the Elisha end of our life. We are stepping up and stepping into ministry. And so we're going to be thinking, well, how do we step up and step into God's call on our life? When we first met Elisha in this series, we thought about, well, how do we know what God's call is on our life? How do we discover that call? Now we're going to be thinking about, well, how do we step into that call? How do we step up and step into God's call on our lives? Before we get into that, the first thing I do also need to do is just define what I mean by God's call, because there's a lot of things that you can think that it is. So when I talk about your call, I mean when you have a deep desire or an external call from God speaking to you to do something. It may be something small, such as you may be called to befriend someone, to do some work for God. It may be you are called to a career, or that you feel called to study something, or to live somewhere. It may be going into full-time ministry. It may be as big as moving away from Australia and going to China and planting churches in rural areas in China. You know, it could be very small to very big, but whatever it is something where you are feeling this deep need to go and do something for God. This is your call. And so we're going to be thinking about, well, how do we step up and step into our call? And the three ways that we're going to look at that is, one, that you need to test your call; two, that you need to honor those who have gone before you; and thirdly, that we need to do our call in the power of Jesus. And so the first thing we need to see is testing our call and how that works itself out in the passage. So if you remember from the story, Elijah and Elisha are walking around, and let me warn you, I'm going to get Elijah and Elisha mixed up here. So if I say the wrong name and you're like, I don't think that happened in the story, then just forgive me, because the names are very similar, if you know, because you know how to read and see that the letters are almost the same. Anyway, Elijah and Elisha, they're walking around, and Elijah is doing like his farewell tour of Israel. He's going around saying goodbye to everyone. He's visiting all the companies of prophets in the different parts of Israel. And as he's walking around, he says to Elisha, he's like, hey, Elisha, I've got to go on to this next place. You just stay here. And Elisha is like, I'm coming with you. I'm sticking to you. I'm going wherever you go. I'm going to go to, like birds of a feather, like a stamp to a letter, we stick together. Yeah, there you go. There's a song from the 50s. And so he sticks with him all the way. And as he's going, a company of prophets, which is like a group of people who prophesy, they come out and they say to Elisha, hey, did you know God's going to take Elijah away today? And it's like, yes, I know, so be quiet. And as they head on, they get to the next place, and Elijah tries to get rid of him. And Elisha says, I'm going to stick with you. And the prophets come and say, hey, he's going to take you. And Elisha's like, be quiet. And they get to the next place, and Elijah's like, hey, I've got to keep going. You stay here. And Elisha's like, no, I'm sticking with you. And eventually they get to the Jordan River. And when they get to the Jordan River, Elijah steps into the Jordan River and he hits it with his cloak and the river parts, just like someone who you may have heard of before. Moses parted the Red Sea and all the Israelites walked through on dry land, and Elijah and Elisha walk through on dry land and they walk out into the wilderness so that Elijah can be taken up. And then Elijah, as they're going, says to Elisha, "Is there anything that you want from me?" And Elisha says, "Yes, give me a double portion of your spirit." And you might think, well, what does that mean? Does it mean that Elisha wants to be doubly as powerful as Elijah? Does Elisha want to be twice the prophet of Elijah? Well, it sounds like that, but what he actually is talking about is back in those days, the eldest son would get the portion of inheritance from the rest of his sons when a father died. So what he's saying is, he said, "May I be like your firstborn son? Can I be a prophet like you to operate in your power, in your spirit, to be able to continue on your ministry just as you have done your ministry?" And Elijah's like, "Well, that's pretty difficult because it's not for me to grant." He knows that it's God's job to anoint a prophet. But he says, "If you see me when I go, then you will get this double portion." And so that's where we're going to leave them. So what we see here is that all the way through, Elijah is trying to get rid of Elisha. And when we see this, we might be thinking, why would he do that? Is it that Elisha was just annoying? That the whole time was like, and Elijah was like, "Oh, be quiet, stop it, I just want to be alone." But Elisha just wouldn't leave him alone. Maybe Elijah, because he was just old and grumpy, he was just like, I don't want you here, you're annoying young man, just stop it. Or if we're being really generous to Elijah, which I think we should do because he is a great man, what he could be doing and what seems to be going on, whatever Elijah is trying to do, is that Elisha's call is being tested. Because Elijah could say, "Hey, look, you got to go home." And Elisha's like, "Oh yeah, I do." And then he goes home and he doesn't stick to the calling that God has given him. But what Elijah seems like he is doing is he's saying to Elijah, "Are you really committed to this call of God on your life? Are you really committed, or do you want to just go home? Because you can go home." It's like he's saying things are going to get hard. It's going to get difficult. You are going to be an enemy of the state. Kings are going to hate you. You are going to have to say hard things to people. You can quit now. Quit now. Quit while you can. And Elisha says, "No, I'm going to stick to the call of God." Elijah is testing Elisha's call. And we need to be people who are willing to have our call tested, that we are willing to do the things that God has called us to, that we test it, make sure that God really is calling us to these things, and we're not just setting out on some futile mission that we're going to give up on halfway through. Jesus talks about this kind of thing in Luke chapter 14, and he says to his followers, "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. When he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000. If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and ask that for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have, cannot be my disciples." I'm just trying to keep you all awake. What Jesus is saying there is he's saying, don't start something that you can't finish. Don't start building a tower if you're going to run out of money halfway through. Don't start a war that you can't win. And with God's call on our lives, we have to be willing to say, are we going to finish what we start? Are we going to see it through? It is the new year, And I'm guessing some of us have made some resolutions for our new year. Some of you have made some decisions about how you want your life to be different. And I'm guessing that some of you have given up on your resolutions already. For Christmas, around Christmas time, I decided that I wanted to get a bit stronger. I was like, I'm going to get strong, but I want to go to the gym. So I asked for a chin-up bar for Christmas. And I got a chin-up bar for Christmas. And since getting the chin-up bar, I've done 4 chin-ups, which means that's about 1 a week. And so I am now very ripped. And that was not a waste of money at all. I have all sorts of things which I give myself to and then kind of give up halfway through. I buy running shoes and then go running in them like 3 times and then I forget about them. I've bought myself a gym membership and then gone to the gym 3 times and then not got back to the gym for 3 months because I'm too embarrassed to go into the gym to tell the people in the gym that I don't go to the gym. Can I please stop paying for not going to the gym? I start things which I don't finish. When I moved to Melbourne, I was like, I'm going to blog every week, and I blogged about once a month, maybe a bit less than once a month. Every week I'm like, I'm going to give up Coke, and every week I start drinking Coke again. I'm very good at starting things which I don't finish, and I'm guessing there are some of you here who are the same, and I think it's time for us to do a little bit of sharing with each other, because I know I do all the talking, but this time we want to hear from each other so we can all feel good. Who here has some resolutions that they have failed to keep, which they want to share with us? Come on, some of you have. Are there any who made some resolutions this year? We can just do hands if you want. I know the mic is scary looking. Anyone decide to get fit this year? Anyone? All right. And who has stuck with it? 1 out of 3. Oh, 2. Oh. You haven't started. When you get back to uni, yeah, new uni year resolutions. All right, good. Who has been like, I'm going to read my Bible every day? Who's done that? Yeah, who's stuck at it? Some of you have. Yeah, all right. Who has been like, I'm going to watch less television? Definitely going to watch less television. I'm going to read more books. Going to be smarter. I'm going to. Yeah. Okay, good. And who's not? Have you followed through? No. Okay, good. Yeah, okay. So now thinking, all right, now we know that most of us here are failures. Let's try this again. Who has made resolutions recently? Does this it? Who's made resolutions recently? Anyone? Okay. All right, now who's kept them? All right, good. Who spent money on resolutions? No one. Okay, good. Doesn't matter then. That was a good illustration. So what happens though? You know the feeling that when you start something and you're being really excited about it and then you start going and maybe you spend money on it and you buy the clothes, you buy the gear, you buy the fishing rod because you're going to go fishing, that's going to be a new hobby, and then you just forget about it all and you leave it behind and that's the end. And what happens then when you don't follow through on the things that you've committed yourself to is you get a little bit embarrassed. You don't want to talk about it in front of everyone at church, and you don't want to tell your friends about it, and then you just kind of let it kind of pass, and then you find stuff in your cupboard after, you know, a few months, and like, oh yeah, I was going to do that. So you feel embarrassed, you lose a bit of money, but that's about it. When you don't follow through on the things that God calls you to, when you think that God's called you to, you start on this thing, you're like, yeah, God's called me to this, you start going, but then it turns out you're like, I might give up. You can lose a lot more, and it can cost God's kingdom a lot more. I've seen lots of people start things which they're like, God has called me to this, but then they don't finish it. People who have started ministries and then built really strong relationships, and then they've bailed halfway through the time they needed to, and it's detrimental to God's kingdom. Or people who said, I'm marrying the person I love, and they do, and then they can't stick at it, and things fall apart, and it hurts people. Or people who, you know, they say that, you know, I'm going to start this new career, and they put everything into the career because this is what God's called me to, and then halfway through, they're kind of like, oh, actually, I don't think this is for me, and then they head off and do something else. You can lose a lot when you start a call, but you haven't tested your call. And so we need people in our lives, people like Elijah, who can help us to test our call, who can ask us the hard questions. And if you don't have an Elijah in your life, then you need to ask yourself these questions. Questions like, is it really God or is it just me who is really keen on this? do I want to serve God or do I just want to feel good about myself? Can I do this? Will I bail when times get hard? Because inevitably, there's going to be a time when you are following your call, when things are going to get hard and you are going to want to give up. And if you haven't tested your call, and if it isn't from God, then you're not going to be able to stick at it. You need to test your call. Maybe you're thinking about getting married. And so you have to ask yourself questions like, if I find myself, my spouse ugly in 15 years, am I still going to keep loving them? If I feel underappreciated and overworked, am I willing to keep loving them? Am I willing to challenge them on their sin and let myself be challenged on mine? Am I willing to forgive and to seek forgiveness every single day? Am I willing to give up on even the possibility that I will find someone better? Is this someone who I can respect and enjoy? If the answer to some of these questions are no, then my guess is you probably shouldn't get married. That this isn't God's call for you. Or maybe we can go something even smaller. Maybe you're thinking you might volunteer for a new ministry at church this year, and there will be come a time in the year when you know things are going to get hard and you'll be tired and busy and exams will be coming up and you'll want to skimp on preparation time. And the question is, are you going to put in a half-hearted effort or are you going to bail on the ministry halfway through your commitment? And if you are, just don't start. Go home. It's better not to start building a tower that you can't finish, and it's better not to start a war that you can't win. If you can, you need to test your call so that you know that you can follow through. This is God calling you. But if God is calling you, then he will give you what you need to make it through. And if God is calling you, then you will see big things happen. You will see God work in the lives of those around you. You will see that his kingdom grows. But you need to test your call to make sure that it is God calling you and it's not just you wanting to do something yourself. The second thing that we need to do is we need to honor those who have gone before. We saw with Elijah that he sticks close to Elisha. He wants to be really near Elijah wants to be really near Elijah. He wants to learn everything he can from Elijah. He wants a double portion from Elijah. And then as they're out in the desert and they're there, there's a chariot, burning chariot of fire and horses that's coming along, and Elisha probably sees it's coming and he's like, oh man, I don't want to get squashed by a fiery horse and a fierier chariot wheel because then I'll be squashed and on fire and that's the worst. And so he gets out of the way and he's separated from Elijah, and then the whirlwind comes and Elijah gets taken up into heaven. Elisha sees him go and then he's gone. He can't see him anymore and he cries out, my father, the chariots and horses of Israel. And he tears his clothes because he's so sad to see his mentor go into the sky. He's not going to be able to learn from him anymore. Elisha has been sticking close to Elijah so that he can learn everything he can from him before he goes. So that when he steps into his new calling, when he steps up and steps into what God has for him, he is ready because he is honoring Elijah who has gone before. It's not like Elijah is like, what do you want from me when I go? And Elisha's like, well, just give me the keys and your contacts and that's enough. There's going to be some changes around here. See you later, Elijah. He's not just waiting for Elijah to disappear. He wants to continue on Elijah's ministry, to continue in the power and the spirit of Elijah. He honors those who have gone before. And we too, if we are going to step into God's call for us, we need to honor those who have gone before, to learn from them, to listen to them, to let them speak into our lives so that we don't make the same mistakes of the past, so that we can learn from them, so that we can work in the same power and knowledge that they have had. We need to surround ourselves with older and wiser people. When I started my first job in ministry, it was a youth ministry job in a small little church, and I was a student youth worker, and I got pretty much no support at all. And I said to my boss, I was like, maybe should we meet up regularly? Like, I've never done this before. And he's like, okay, yeah, we can meet up regularly. And he was like, we'll meet up every fortnight. And so every fortnight I'd go and sit in his lounge room, and he'd tell me how big the youth group used to be, and that was it. It was very inspiring for me. And so then I moved on to a new job, and I was the associate youth pastor. and the youth pastor who was there at the time, he said, "Oh, Tom, when you arrive, I want to take you out for a milkshake." And I'm like, "What? You want to take me out for a milkshake? What does that even mean? No one has ever taken me out for a milkshake before." And he took me out for a milkshake, and what that was is he wanted to get to know me. He wanted to support me. He wanted to meet me to be the best youth pastor that I could be. And so he would take me out regularly, and he'd ask me questions. "See how I'm going?" He'd say, "Tom, how you going?" And I'd be like, "I'm good." And he'd say, "Come on, Tom, how are you going?" And I'd be like, "Ah." And then I'd have to give him a real answer about how I'm going. And he'd ask me this every time. And after about a year, he left that job, but he kept meeting up with me, kept asking me questions, kept speaking into my life. And he would tell me things about how to do ministry. And he'd challenge me about things I can read. And he would give me love life advice. He was a useful man to know. And so after a few years, I was like, "Do you want to be my mentor?" And he was like, "Yes, I do." And so he became my mentor. And so we would meet up regularly, and then he pushed me even more. And he'd expect more from me. And he was always challenging me. It was really, really useful. He was around when I first met Em, and I was like, "I've met this person, what should I do?" And he was like, "You should date her, go for it." And I was like, "Okay, I will." And that was, we did life together for a while until eventually, we talked about me taking up this job, and he helped me to think through how to do that and how to make this decision. And I took the job, and then he fired me from being his mentee because he was like, "Well, you're moving to Melbourne, so we can't be mentors anymore." But then we're still friends and we still talk. And whenever I go back to Sydney, we catch up. I rang him just the other day to ask him some theological questions. And when he picked up the phone, he's like, "Tom, let's talk about Star Wars." And so we talked about Star Wars and about Episode 7. And then we moved on to theology. But he's very useful, and he loved to help me to be the best follower of Jesus that I can be, to challenge me and to push me. And I have lots of people in my life who have been like him to me. People who I can sit down and pick their brain, and I can ask them about the things they've done in all sorts of areas in my life. I have lots of older, wiser people around me who have helped me. We need to find older, wiser people who will help us to follow God's call. People who have been there and done that before us to help us to learn how to do ministry together. And so you need to find these people and ask them. And, you know, it could be as small as finding someone who is older and wiser than you and then just saying, "Hey, can we go out for coffee and I'm going to ask you some questions." Or it could be as big as saying, "Hey, do you want to be my mentor?" And then being mentored by them for a year or more. You never graduate from being mentored. You always need older, wiser people in your life to speak into your life. Those of us who are on staff here at Mitcham, we have older, wiser people who keep speaking into our lives. I reckon I will keep looking for older, wiser people until I'm the oldest, wisest person I know, and then I'll be ready to die, and that'll be it. But I will keep looking for people because we never graduate. So who should you ask? Well, if you're wanting to know how to grow as a Christian, then find an older, wiser Christian. If you're wanting to know, you know, how you go about getting into ministry, then find someone older and wiser than you in ministry. If you're wanting to know, you know, how to be a good mother, then find an older, wiser mother and ask them questions. It kind of makes sense. Figure out what your call is, then find someone who's already doing that, and then learn from them. Because we need to honor those who have gone before. Because we do not do this alone. Other people are with us who will help us on the journey. The last thing that we need to do if we are going to step up and step into God's call on our lives is to make sure that we do it in the power of Jesus. We see with Elijah, the last thing that happens is that he heads back to the River Jordan. And there he takes the cloak that Elijah has dropped off him when he's gone up into heaven, and he walks up to the river and he hits the river with the cloak, and then the river parts. And when he's done it, he's testing to see whether God has anointed him. He asks, "Where now is the Lord of Elijah?" And then when the river parts, we see that just as Joshua, when he parted the river to show that he was now in the same leadership as Moses, Elisha is now in the same leadership as Elijah. He is now the prophet of Israel, that he has God's power with him. And so he goes across the Jordan and he begins his ministry as the prophet of Israel. And then there's that little bit of the story where the other prophets want to go out and search for Elijah. And that whole thing is about, they just want to make sure he's really gone. Because if Elijah goes up, disappeared, and then he got dropped somewhere else and is dead, then they don't want to leave him out there. They want to give him a proper burial. But Elijah's like, well, we know he's gone, but they want to make sure because they want to honor him. That's just what that bit of the story is about. But for us, we're, oh, thank you. I can tell that my voice wasn't, you're like, oh no, it's the worst, he's going to die. Thanks, Mike, that's really great. All right. I sound about the same. No, I don't. Oh, I sound better. Good. All right. What was we talking about? Yes. So he hits the water and he sees that he's got the power to see that he's got the power of God. He is the new prophet of Israel. And this story reminds me of another story in the Bible, the time when a man took some of his followers up onto a hill and he was about to disappear into heaven. And we know this is the story of Jesus. And he takes his disciples and he says to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And so you now have the job to go out into the world and continue my work, to continue building my kingdom, to call people to follow me. You will have my spirit so that you can work in my power. See, Elijah was only given the power of the same spirit of Elisha. But we have been given the spirit of Jesus, that we continue the work of building Jesus' kingdom. And this is the power that we work in when we step up and step into God's call. We go in the authority of Jesus. When I was a kid, I used to go to this Christian music and arts festival called Black Stump, and I would go and there'd be bands there and there'd be drama performances and speakers and dancers, and I would go and I would watch and I'd see people walking around with these lanyards on which would say access all areas. I'd be like, I would love to have an access all areas pass. That would be the best. Then I could go backstage and hang out in green rooms. It'd be so cool. But I was like, oh, I'm just a kid. I can't have that. I can't go anywhere I want to go. But then a few years, when I was older, I got invited back to go as a speaker and a videographer. So I got to film stuff. And my job was to go and film everything and anything that I could. And when I was there, I got given then a media pass. And a media pass was pretty much an access all areas pass for the festival. I was like, yes, I finally made it. I have my access all areas pass. And so I went around and I could do pretty much whatever I wanted. If I wanted to go up on stage and film on stage, I could do it because I had my media pass. If I wanted to go backstage and shoot there, I could go backstage because I had my media pass. If I wanted to go, you know, on the other side of the crowd barriers, I would just go walk up to security and give them a nod and walk in front of the barriers and I could film there. I could go wherever I wanted. When I needed batteries, I just walked up to the sound guy and said, can I have some batteries? Media pass. And I got some batteries because media pass was great. If I wanted food from the artist support era, I could get it because I had the media pass. The media pass was power. I could do anything I wanted to do with the media pass. It was the best. And having the power of Jesus is like our access all areas pass, but to everything that God has called us to do. We have the access to God's power to achieve what God has called us to do. It is great. We have the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, and he calls us to do big things, and he doesn't leave us alone. So we need to work in the power of Jesus as we step up and step into God's call. The way that we do that isn't anything special. We don't need to you know, go on some special hike. We don't need to become a special person. We don't need to screw up all our power so that God, Jesus will fill us. If we love and follow Jesus, we already have the Holy Spirit in us. And so we can step into what God has called us to do, and he will be there. He will empower us, and we will get stuff done. We will see him using our words to greater effect than we could imagine. We will see him giving us a strength that we didn't know that we had to do more things that we don't understand how to do. We will have more influence than we can guess at, because it's not us that's doing the work. It's Jesus working in his power to build his kingdom. Jesus didn't come and die just to save us from our sins, but he did. But he also came to save us into a new life of serving him. And so we work in the power of Jesus. With the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that power lives in us, enabling us to do what it is that God has called us to do. So when we step up and step into the God's call in our lives, we do it in Jesus' power. And then we will see the kingdom grow. If you are not a Christian, then what this means for you tonight is that you can be part of any movement and you can be part of any action group or any committee and you can do whatever you can to change the world. But if you want to make real and lasting change in this world, then you need real and lasting change yourself. You need to go to the one who has done everything needed to change you from someone who is dead in your sins to someone who is alive forever with him. You need to commit yourself to Jesus. You need to be first willing to give up and to give in to Jesus who gave his life for you. So then you can step up and step into what God has called you to and start changing the world in a way that lasts. And if you are a Christian, then you need to continually give up your life to the one who gave up his life for you. You need to be willing to follow Christ because it is only through him that you can achieve what he has called you to. You need to be willing to test your call, to honor those who have gone before you and work in his power. And when you do that, he will achieve big things through you as you step up and step into his call on your life. How about I pray for us? Lord God, we thank you for your son. We thank you that it's in his power that we work. I pray that you will help us to be people who, like Elisha, stepped into his role, that we will step up into ours, that we'll be willing to be people who test the call that we have and make sure it is a call from you and not just from our own desires, so that we can follow through on what we are called to do and see you do things. I pray that we will honor those who have gone before and learn from them, that we will seek out older, wiser people so that we can work in the same spirit as they work in. I pray that we will seek your power, that Jesus, we will have you empowering us, that it won't be by our own strength but yours, so that we will be able to achieve the things you call us to, because it is you that grows your kingdom and we get to be part of it. Amen.